Well, good morning, church. It may seem a little strange to you that I'm coming to the pulpit now to bring the word. Let me assure you, if it's strange for me, if it's strange for you, it's even more strange for me. May God help us both. So Pastor Bill, a couple of weeks ago, asked me to bring the message today. While he and his family are out at the wedding celebrating a great event with their family. And God willing, he'll be back next week. Jeff Randolph's going to bring the sermon. But we're going to start a four-week series going through four different songs from Luke chapters 1 and chapters 2. So I would strongly encourage you throughout the week, study it. Read through it. You know, it only takes a short amount of time. Read your Bible. Read chapters 1 and chapters 2. Prepare yourself each week to hear God speak. Study and know who our God is. So today, I'm going to be bringing the sermon from Mary's song found in chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. I've been greatly helped as I've been studying this by Alistair Begg, Jason Halopoulos, and Matthew Henry's commentary. Next week, I believe we have Zachariah's song, and then we got the angel singing, and then we have Simeon's song leading up to Christmas. With that, why don't you turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start reading from verse 39. And we're going to go through 56. So please turn there and follow along as I read. I'll give you a chance. Okay. Verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. May God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word. Let's pray again now before we go and look at it. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now asking you for help, not out of ritual or custom, but out of a true need. For Lord, we know we are weak and frail. We know we are prone to wonder, and without you working in us through your Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Lord, I need your help. Please speak through me. please speak through me, that you will be heard, that your name will be proclaimed, your word will go forth, and it will be true and sound, and you will be lifted high and exalted. Father, help those here today. Help them to listen with open ears. Help them to listen with open hearts. Give them strength that their minds will remain focused on you and your word. And I pray that you will do your work in our lives. Amen. God's people, Christians, we are really marked out by many differences, and we need to be. And one of those differences, we're a people that sing. We sing all kinds of songs. What a fantastic time of year. We get to sing special music. Jeff, thanks for starting us out with a Christmas carol. And I just want to give a little shout out. Every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, a group of us get together and we sing hymns and we're into the Christmas carols. And if you want to sing Christmas carols, come 9 o'clock on Sunday morning and sing with us in the multi-purpose room. But we sing not because we enjoy it, even though we do enjoy it. I love to sing. But that's not really why we sing. We don't sing because we're just so good at it. Trust me, we're not that good. But we sing because of who God is and what God has done. Let's look at this portion of Scripture that we've read and understand God and what He has done. Let's look at the context of this before we actually get into the Song of Mary. And we can see the humanity of it. How wonderful a picture. Two women getting together to have a prenatal conversation. I've never personally had this experience, and I don't think I ever want to have that experience. But Mary would have traveled some 70 miles to get to the house of Elizabeth. And we can presume that Mary went to visit her relative because of what she had been told by the angel Gabriel, that Elizabeth, the barren one, was also with child. We could also presume that Mary was not sharing a lot about her condition with her neighbors. That would have been rather awkward. And that she went to have someone to talk with. It would have been a difficult trip. Traveling in those days, 70 miles was quite an adventure. And she would have arrived tired and ready for some rest. But being the younger, it was Mary's duty and the custom of the day to greet Elizabeth first. Elizabeth also had stature in the eyes of the nation. She was of the line of Aaron. Mary was not. Mary was just a lowly girl. But we do see that Mary did greet Elizabeth first. We see that in verse 40. And so it was only right that this happened. But then something out of the ordinary happened. Elizabeth speaks in a loud voice. And it wasn't just the loud voice that was unusual. It was what she said. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let us not miss what's taking place here. Elizabeth is calling the baby in Mary's womb her Lord. This would be blasphemy scandalous if it was not true. But by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth knows that Mary is carrying the Lord of the universe. How do we know this? Look at verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard greeting that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a great encouragement for Elizabeth. Look at verse 15 of the same chapter. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And here in verse 41, it's recorded as so. It would also have been a great encouragement and reinforcement for Mary. Elizabeth is a second witness confirming that she is carrying the Son of the Most High God. I also want us to take a moment and look at the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, if you want to turn there. While you're turning there, I just want us to remember that we have just one Bible, not two. Even though we say there is an Old Testament and a New Testament, it's one book that is the Word of God. It's not two separate books. It's not two separate stories, but one. And this is the word of the Lord as the prophet Malachi recorded it for the people of Israel 400 years earlier. Verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And for 400 years the Lord was silent. And now we have the start of the fulfillment of this text. We should not view the birth of Christ as the complete fulfillment, because that's not why Christ came. But we should see that it's the start of the fulfillment. John, who would be called the Baptist, leaps in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth puts words to John's emotions and declares, "This is the Lord." Do you see the continuity of Scripture? Do you see the special events unfolding as recorded for us? The Lord of the universe is bursting onto center stage of history. Let's also look at Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. This is not completely fulfilled in chapter 1, but it's starting. John is the return of the prophetic voice of the Lord after 400 years of silence. And I am sure that there would have been some in that day who were saying that the Lord has forgotten his people. We have not heard from the Lord in 400 years. But now the Lord is speaking again by his Holy Spirit, just as he had done through the Old Testament prophets. And is it any different today? Many today are scoffers, saying, "Where is the Christ? When will he return?" But God is not slow, as some count slow. God remembers his promises and remembers his people because he never forgets. Elizabeth and Mary only had what was told them by God to rely on in their day. And they believed. We are no different. We rely on the Word of God. If you look at Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Take God at his word. Luke provides for us a point of continuity between the Old Testament expectation and the New Testament realization. It's the same story. Mary responds next in a song. When we come to this passage of Scripture, we need to come with fresh eyes. Don't be so familiar with the story that you miss what is being said and what is taking place. See who is at work and what work he is doing. 10 times in 10 verses, Mary sings that he is doing the work. God takes the initiative in the lives of men and women. He has done it, and he will do it. The work follows along two major themes. God is mighty, and God is merciful. God's might speaks to his power and justice, rightly executing his will according to his counsel, as it's recorded in Ephesians 1. This morning, we will look at God's might. We also will look at God's mercy. His mercy speaks to dealing with man's misery. Stay with me as we think about that. His commitment is to his eternal covenant, and it's on display in this song. How he brings back to the forefront his promise of a redeemer who will deal with man's guilt. This we call grace. And through his mercy, God deals with man's misery. The misery of knowing that you are lost and shut off by God, from God, by your sin. And God provides the remedy for this misery as he has promised in his son Jesus the Christ. Are you miserable in your sin? Have you mourned over your lostness? Let's follow along and see how God has dealt with this and how you too can have God's mercy deal with your misery. We read in verse 47 that Mary glorifies God, her Savior. In her spirit, she is rejoicing in this knowledge, for she understood that she was in need of a Savior. Don't get confused. Mary was a sinner just like us. Even though she had been placed in a position to be called blessed in every generation henceforth, she has the right view of her situation. She is a sinner in need of a Savior, a servant of the Most High God, who is the only one due glory and praise. Mary's focus is on God, her Savior, and her focus is shaped by the knowledge of her need, her sinful state. As it says in verse 49, he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. We see here a young girl of no esteem and no natural or special intrinsic ability. Chosen by God to be the mother of our Lord, Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Is this not how God works? He does not choose the proud or the strong by man's account, but choose the humble and lowly to perform his great works. Let us look at the next portion of Mary's song, verses 50 and 53. God's mercy extends to those who fear him. What is this fear? How do we understand fear in this context? And when we read in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, out of Proverbs 9. This kind of fear is revealed by awe in our hearts. Awe of the might, majesty, and holiness of God. It is demonstrated in reverence by which we bow our will and desires before His power and righteousness. And we cannot disobey His commandments without feeling the guilt. There is no room for pride in this fear, and we cannot take God lightly. To help us get a picture of this in our minds, I want to use Aslan the lion from the Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't seen the movie, I recommend it. It's a good family movie. It's a little weird. Animals talk. Strange things happen. But it's a great story that unfolds that a mighty ruler provides the required sacrifice for another. Does this sound familiar? But the picture I want to focus on now is the character Aslan. Aslan is a lion. Not a tame lion, but a powerful lion. Aslan does not hurt the children, but the children are not real sure the lion is safe. There is a respect and distance in their relationship. And at the same time, the children show love and devotion for Aslan. There is a respect or fear of this lion. And at the same time, they are drawn to Aslan for comfort and protection. I find it to be a really helpful picture when thinking about the fear of the Lord. We should not be so lighthearted with Jesus, our Savior, that He is our best bud or our bro. We need to have a proper respect for the Creator of the universe and conquering King. But we also should feel drawn to Him for His love and protection and kindness. We need both aspects to be present in our understanding of Jesus the Messiah. It's recorded for us in verse 51, He has shown His strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. What do we do with this? Does God have arms? No. It's a word picture for our benefit to help our limited minds get an understanding of God's might. This is a common picture used in the Bible, like in Exodus 6 when God speaks to Moses and tells Moses that He, God, will redeem His people with an outstretched arm. This speaks to God's power and might. God has on display His might in dealing with the proud. God is the mighty warrior and the merciful Savior. He scatters the proud. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. But God is not diminished by this in any way. The more man seeks knowledge apart from God, the more confused man becomes. When I was growing up, there was the explosion of evolutionary thought and belief. It was on all fronts. I will say I was blessed by being raised in a Christian home that never wavered from the truth that God is the creator of all there is. But that did not mean I was not exposed to the science of evolution. Man was attempting to convince themselves that there is no God, and it is just matter plus time plus chance that we are even here. And how man claims that their science is the truth and God's word is just superstition. Well now, as man's science and understanding has continued, man now needs to undermine his own wisdom or his science to continue to deceive himself that he is in control and not God. I found an article in my morning reading recently that man's claim about evolution, it's not holding together anymore. Who would have thought? That science is now proving through DNA that man has come from one man and one woman. What a shock. Who would have thought that? DNA is also proving that the world cannot be billions of years old. Another shock. But has this stopped man from trying to explain away the biblical account of creation? No. Man just needs to make his claims more convoluted to meet his need to make God not real so that man is not accountable to his creator. We even go so far to say that you just need to realize it for yourself. If you want to be somebody else today, that's okay. But not according to God's word. And God sits in his heavens and he laughs. As it says in Psalm 2, God laughs at the proud. He scatters their little imagination with their own foolishness. God also brings down the mighty. Look at verse 52. Think of Pharaoh as recorded for us in Exodus. Pharaoh, the mightiest ruler of his age, his land stretched out as far as he desired. He had wealth. He had slaves. He wanted for nothing. And we read that God hardens Pharaoh's heart and so God puts his power on display for the children of Israel and for us. God over and over again provides opportunity for Pharaoh to bow before the creator of the universe by bringing 10 plagues. God demonstrates his control over the creation through 9 plagues. And then God brings Pharaoh and Egypt down with plague number 10, demonstrating his power over life itself, providing for the children of Israel and for us a picture of his salvation through the sacrifice of a substitute. Are you looking for your security in your own little empire building? Are you placing your trust in your prideful claims in your heart about your work or stature in the community or your home or even your church home? God does not bend to you, but he laughs at our arrogance and pride. He will not accommodate your pride, but he will exalt the lowly. Bend your knee. Pour out your heart to God. Beg him for salvation, and he will not turn you away. But if you refuse, there is no place for you in his kingdom. You are lost. Let's look at verse 53. It doesn't get any easier here. For this verse talks to us in this room directly. Are you hungry? Are you trusting God for your needs? Or are you like the rich man of Luke 12, a man who God blessed with great harvest, and then the man says in his heart, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And God says to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." God doesn't need to take away the riches of man to send him away empty. God can just keep giving us more and more. And as we trust in our own riches, we become worrisome and empty in soul. We become consumed with the need to take care of all of our stuff. And he will not give us fulfillment and rest. How merciful of God to bring us to the end of ourselves and have nowhere else to go but to fall on our knees in humble submission, knowing that we cannot take care of our souls, we can't satisfy our needs, and we can't save ourselves. Only God can do these things. Only God can save you and satisfy your heart's need. You need to cry to him for mercy. Then he will lift you up and feed you. Now let us look at the end of our passage today. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And God has done it. In fulfilling his promise made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to send the Messiah, the Savior, to be the everlasting blessing to all who would believe in him and so become the seed of Abraham by faith. And I ask you, I plead with you, repent of your arrogance and pride. Repent of your self-reliance. Beg God for forgiveness. Bring yourself low before him, and he will hear your cry and bring you into the seed of Abraham. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth until very near her time of delivery, having for herself unspeakable satisfaction and great joy. What a comfort. And Mary found all these things that were told her by the angel to be true. And soon, she would depart with Joseph to Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. Above that deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. This is the song of Mary. This is what Mary is singing about. The sovereign God of the universe has fulfilled his covenant, his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that through this humble, lowly, insignificant girl, the Messiah has come. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Lamb who was slain. He is mighty and merciful. Let the one who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you for your promise to send the Messiah. And the fulfillment of this promise in the one whose birth we celebrate. Show us our need. And Lord, show us our Savior. Amen. The grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen.